We are glad you're here today. We've started our new Bible classes today for the quarter. You've noticed all the teachers have sent out an email to everybody telling about their classes, but me. Today we started John, and we started growing in Christian character, and with AR and Micah and John. I will have a class starting on Wednesday night that's out of our, or at least following, a study of the whole Bible with our spiritual heritage as the background or backdrop of that, because we're trying to pull that up into the adult classes. And I will have Joshua and Judges. Wednesday night, we'll talk about why in the world were they told to go into that land and destroy all those people. That's a question we have, and I don't know that I have the answer about that, but we will talk about that. And then we will look a little bit at the OSH. We'll show you what they're learning in their Bible classes, children's Bible classes, and then the next week we will get into maybe me more teaching about Joshua and Judges. I told Derek, he gave me a lot of material, and I said, man, my little head's going, there's a lot of material there, and we're going to try to use that best we can. I yesterday reposted two things that was on Facebook, that two of my favorite things. One of them came to me from Jay Connor, which was the old rugged cross with four gentlemen, black gentlemen in a, looked like a little room, just their little living room, a little den, singing, quartet style, the old rugged cross. And then maybe the most moving song I've ever first seen was Dolly Parton singing He's Alive. That might seem strange, but I saw that the first time on TV, and I had tears down my cheeks when all that chorus surrounded her shouting, singing beautifully that He is alive. And that brings me to this last class that Josh Nettles is teaching Wednesday night, and that is Coexist, about all the different religions. Well, let me tell you, the answer is He's alive. So I'm covering that some today. That if you want to know why those are not true and Christ is true, is because He is alive. All the rest have died and gone on, or a figment of a person's imagination, or some kind of mystic religion that's come Eastern religion. And we need not adopt. Sometimes we adopt that with our God. We sort of feel like we treat Him like the gods of Buddha and such as He floats through the air. But we have to straighten all that out and find out what God is. He is alive, and Jesus Christ is alive today. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's why we're here today. That's why we're here every Sunday. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for everyone. Whoever believes in Him. Whoever believes in Him who has everlasting life. Remember, He, talking to that woman at the well, said, if you knew the one that was giving you this water, you knew that this was water that you would never be thirsty again, because it is the water of everlasting life. Whoever believes in Him who has everlasting life shall have everlasting life. We're not here today to talk about Abraham. Abraham's important. Abraham, 2,000 years before the Word came to this world, was faithful to God and blessed by God. And he was given great promises. And the promise that we all inherit is that third promise, not the people, not the land, but the spiritual promise, that of him the seed should come to this world. Well, Abraham's seed 500 years later wasn't behaving right. Judah, through whom the line of the tribe of Judah was to come, was already sleeping in a tent with somebody he shouldn't be. And God drove them into a land where they would be captive. They were forced to go there for food, and they became slaves in Egypt. Joseph was the one who was raised up to save his people there. But they learned to live a separate life because the Egyptians would not marry them. They didn't want to have anything to do with shepherds. And so Abraham's seed grew there, and they became a great people. And they became a people that were given a law because of their transgressions. You want to know why the old law was given? Galatians tells us. It was given because of the transgressions of the children of Abraham. That's the reason Judaism was formed, the children of Judah. And so the Jewish nation grew, and they had a law. Other religions came. The 8th century, Krishna, Lord Vishnu, part of Hinduism, and this all begins now. This is just a mystic god. This god is almost like the gods of Jupiter and others that had became so popular even in Greek culture and Roman cultures. And then in the 7th century, there was one, Lao Tzu, who began Taoism. He's a person. He lived and he died. Confucius wasn't really a religion, but it was a philosophy. And there were people that followed him, and he lived and he died. Muhammad. We hear a lot about Muhammad today, don't we? Well, Muhammad lived and he died. Siddhartha Gautama, laugh if you know how to pronounce it, because I probably didn't pronounce it right. Buddhism. He was a man that came along. He lived and he died. But he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to know about the coexistence? Here's the problem. All of this is either some mystic religion that the Buddhists and Hindus and people end up having, and it came into the Greek culture, into the Roman culture, or it had religious people who lived and died, but there's one who came from God. There's one who came from God, and Jesus would be his name because he would save his people from their sins. He lived, he died, and he was raised from the dead to never die again. That's what makes us so different, my friends. That's why every first day of the week you will see us gather around this table, remembering that here is one that is above all. Here is the one who lived and died and was raised again and lives forevermore. Emmanuel, Messiah, the Son of God, God with us, the Anointed One, who was God's Son. His death was foretold. Over in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, have to bear with me as I go through the Bible today. I borrowed a book from somebody named Andrew Herrera, who left this in 2008. I've got two Bibles just alike. I leave one at home and I leave one at the building, so they will always have it handy. And both of them are at home today. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was pierced through for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. For all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, But the Lord has called the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so he did not open his mouth, but oppression and judgment, by oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, to whom the stroke was due. And there are many. Read Psalm 22. Read this. There's so many prophecies of his death. His resurrection was foretold. But, you know, rather than reading Psalm, if you go over to Acts 2, if you go over to Acts chapter 2, here's the psalm quoted. We won't go over the psalm. We'll just go over where it was quoted. Brethren, verse 29 of Acts 2. I confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and he's in the tomb with us today, like Abraham and like all these other people. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was, and here's the quote, he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we all are witnesses. He is now, as it goes on to say, at the right hand of God. It was foretold. Look at these passages with me just a minute. If I read all the passages I have on this, y'all are in trouble. But I won't read them all. But let's read some. What's amazing about this is, he, as he lived, he kept telling them, I'm going to die, I'll be in the grave 3 days, and I'm going to be raised from the dead. Only a lunatic says that. No, none of these people that we looked at before said, let me tell you, followers, I'm going to be raised from the dead. None of them said that, because they knew that wouldn't happen. But Jesus said it over and over again. Matthew 12 and verse 40. For just as Jonah was in 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The 16th chapter in verse 21, the 16th chapter of Matthew in verse 21. I just want to give you some of these readings to make you understand. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests and scribes. He must be killed and be raised on the third day. The 17th chapter in verse 9. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man has been risen from the dead. The 26th chapter in verse 32, 26 and verse 32. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. After I've been raised, he's about to die. But let me tell you, after I'm raised, I'll go before you in Galilee. In the 27th chapter, verses 55, beginning. And many women were there looking from a distance who had followed Jesus of Nazareth, ministering him. And there was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And when it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. And the man went to Pilate and asked the body of Jesus, and Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in a new tomb. A new tomb. There wasn't anybody going to be confused here, that there were many bodies there and one is missing. No, it's a new tomb, which he had hewn. He knew this tomb. out of the rock. This was a rich man's grave. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary was opposite the grave. Now on the next day, which was after the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together and said, "Sir," look, notice now, the authorities knew what he had taught. Look at it. And said, "Sirs, remember that he was, when he was still alive, the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.'" Not only did he say it repeatedly, everybody knew he said it. The authorities knew he said it. Jesus Christ would be raised from the dead, and what happened was he was raised from the dead. The soldiers made sure. You remember it was about time for the Passover, the Sabbath, and you remember what the soldiers did to make sure that they all died? They went and broke their legs. That was so they couldn't push up. What you would die of is suffocation and heart failure. You'd finally couldn't push up, and you would sag, and you would die. Pneumonia and heart failure would kill you. Well, all they have to do is break your legs, and you can't breathe and get another breath. And so they broke the legs of the ones on each side of Jesus, but when they came to him, they saw he was already dead. But these were executioners. You know how when people are put to death now, or somebody dies, they go on now, we put on stethoscope and we listen to see with the heartbeat, is there a pulse? Well, they knew just how to test. Well, should we break his leg? They pierced his side, and what came forth? Blood and water. It was already separated. There was certainty of that test that this Christ, Jesus, he who is, says that, as they said he was the King of the Jews, he was dead. John saw it. In John, this same passage, I like what John says in John the 19th chapter in verse 35. John 19 in verse 35. Notice how he says it. He says, "And he who has," and this is after the spear, verse 34 says, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. And he who has seen has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe." I saw it too. This I'm a believer who saw it too. It wasn't just the soldiers. I saw it. He was dead. The scriptures foretold this. Verse 37. "And again, scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced." God knew before time that this medical test was going to be carried out. That they would kill him and they would stretch him out, as Psalm 22 says. And they will show that he is dead both to the Romans and to the believers. The Roman centurion beat his breast. And you know what he said? "This man's the Son of God." It was dark for 3 hours. From noon to 3 o'clock, it was darkness. We saw it. This man's the Son of God. And he hasn't even risen yet. Many women saw this event. Joseph of Arimathea. Look at the Mark. Go to Mark 15. I'll tell you something. When you handle a body, you know it's dead. I've stood beside quite a few people that I loved who passed away in my arms or close to being in my arms. I want to tell you something. I knew they were dead when they died. I mean, I remember saying, "He's gone or she's gone," before they even come in with a stethoscope. You know when somebody's dead. But I guarantee you, when somebody's dead, a medical test has been given. There's been enough time for his death that somebody goes to authorities and says, "I want to get the body." And they go get the body. And they wrap the body up in linen and some spices, which weren't adequate. If the women were watching and they didn't like it, they came back early on the first day of the week to get it right. Joseph should have never had this opportunity. Women are some of the greatest people of faith. We know that. But they get it. They get the body. They wrap the body. They know he's dead. There's no question. And when evening had already come, because it was preparation of the day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. And he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he was dead at this time, and summoning the centurion, he questioned him whether he was already dead. The soldiers knew they were dead. He was dead. They'd already given a report to the centurion. And Joseph, and ascertaining from the centurion, he granted the body. And Joseph bought a linen cloth and took him down and wrapped him in the linen cloth and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of in a rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary and the Marys that were there, they watched Joseph put him in the tomb. And before the Sabbath, they ran and got the spices from the market. They said, we're going to go back early on the first day of the week after the Sabbath, and we're going to wrap that body right. And they planned to do that. People around the cross knew he was dead. He was dead. When they went back, when those ladies were headed back to the tomb, something had already happened. First people that knew something was wrong was the soldiers. They woke up and it's gone. And they were in trouble and they went off. At least 12 were there. And they go off. And these women are coming and they're saying, how in the world are we going to get in there? Do you remember that rock? Do you think we can roll that thing? An angel had taken care of that. And so they come to be first witnesses after the soldiers had gone to formulate a plan to cover up the resurrection. Angels, of course, had already been there. Mary Magdalene comes. Then he goes and appears to the 11 apostles who knew him, who saw him die. Mary saw him die. The 11 saw him die. You going on the road to Emmaus, two disciples. They're joined by one, and he tells them all the things about himself and the law of Moses. And oh, I'd love to have heard that discussion. They knew he was alive, and they ran back to tell the disciples. Later, Thomas, who wasn't there the first time, they told him he was alive, and they said, Thomas, he is alive. I'm telling you, he's alive. He came, and we talked to him. We saw him. We felt him. He's warm. Thomas says, I won't believe it unless I feel the side where I saw that water and blood. And I feel the scars in the hand. And when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he says, Thomas, come, see and feel, be believing, not unbelieving. Thomas didn't say, okay, Lord, let me see that. I'll tell you what, Thomas was convinced when he saw him. He was dead and now he's alive. Thomas just fell to the ground and said, my Lord and my God. My divine one. Micah read for us, 1 Corinthians 15. Multitudes of people saw him. Cephas saw him. The 12 saw him repeatedly. 500 brethren at once saw him. Micah read for us. Then he appeared to James, and then he appeared to the apostles, and then he appeared to Paul as one born out of season. He's alive. He who was dead is now alive. You know, everybody believes that the Jews and the Romans crucified Jesus. I think most people will accept that he was buried in a sealed tomb. And that the body went missing. The apostles' integrity of faith was unquestioned. You know, they weren't deluded people. They lived with him for over 3 years. They knew. I mean, you live with somebody for 3 years. I might think I know Scott Sandusky, but if he moves in and I have to live with him 3 years, I might have more sympathy with Carol. I don't mean to say that. You really get to know people more when you're dealing with them day in and day out. They knew him. They understood who he was. And they saw him after he was raised from the dead. They saw him ascend to heaven, and they preached that until people killed them and they could no longer speak. That's not deluded people. That's people who believe. Skeptics have proposed that he swooned. Later he gained strength and he left. Swooned. Then he got up and rolled the stone away and overcame 12 soldiers, and it's ridiculous. That wouldn't account for what the soldiers did, nor the testimony of the soldiers. Others will say that they stole the body. That's what the Jews paid the soldiers to tell. They said, "You tell that his disciples came and overpowered you or stole the body some way. You don't have to tell you it's out there. Just say the disciples stole the body. Let's don't tell anything. Just say the disciples stole the body, and we'll give you a good bit of money if you'll do that, and we'll make it sure with the officials that you won't get killed. We'll take care of things if you'll just tell this story." So they told that story. Well, if that's what the truth was, why didn't they just drag the body out? You know, I mean, why didn't they go find the body? They couldn't find the body. They couldn't produce the body. They couldn't capture Jesus again. The disciples stole the body. That's the story that went out. They were scared to death, huddled up in a room thinking they were going to be killed next. Their strongest leader probably to go out and fight a battle was Peter. And he was devastated. He was in no shape to go lead anything. Nobody wanted to place a sword in his hand again. And then to die for something they knew was false. Disciples hallucinated. They just wanted to see Jesus so much they believed. Somebody said, "I saw Jesus," and now everybody believes it. Look at Luke 24. Luke 24. Friend, we need to get this down in our mind good, because I'll tell you what, this is the reason you don't coexist. This is it. He's alive. Matthew 24, verse 36. "And while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst." The disciples who knew him. But they were startled and frightened, and they thought it's a spirit. That really can't be true. It's just the opposite of what people claim. Not that they wanted to see him so bad they just thought they saw some spiritual being. No, they saw him really, and they thought it must be some figment of their imagination or a spirit floating around. And who is this one? Thomas demanded proof. He wasn't going to be taken away by this story. Many saw him over 40 days, already been read for us by Micah. If true, if all that were true, all you'd have to do is go get the body. That's all they had to do is go get the body. If the divinity, you take the divinity away from Jesus, and you have a Jew born in a captive Roman province of a peasant woman. He lived as a carpenter for 30 years, became a teacher of religion for 3.5 years, was deserted by his followers when arrested, was tried and killed as a common criminal. He never wrote a book, invented a machine, or went to a university. Yet he claimed to be equal with God, to be the light of the world, that he will judge the world, that he would be raised from the dead, and that he was sinless. What a claim. We date our years from his birth. He established a religion that spread throughout the world. If he was not the Christ, he was a cheat and a conscious liar. Yet he gave the world the highest moral standard ever known. I can't believe that. I can believe he's alive. The only logical conclusion is that Christ is what he claimed to be. He is the Son of God. That's what we stake our claim on. That's the gospel. Christ came into a dark world of sin, but he lived a sinless life and he died on a cross. He was buried, but he arose and he sits on a throne in his kingdom today. And he invites all of us to come. Be his disciples. If we go to Romans, the 3rd chapter, you'll see how our own conversion is tied to this very sacrifice of Jesus. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Have you been baptized into the death of Jesus? Have you been baptized into Christ? This is where we connect with this man in this gospel. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death. Our old man dies. We get a new life. We get to be raised again to newness of life. In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. The crucified Christ, the risen Christ. Have you been crucified with him to be raised again to new life? If you haven't, we're going to sing a song now. We're going to sing a song. We want you to come to the resurrected Christ. We want you to be united in his death and be raised in his life. If you believe, why not be baptized today? Friend, if you've let this world cause you to stray, to become weak, to get doubting, Remember who he is. Remember where he is. And remember what he's done for you. We can do anything to help you to be his child. Won't you come now together?